created in Him for good works. I don't know about you. There's lots of times that I don't always feel like God's masterpiece. Even as I was sitting down and writing this message for today, I was thinking about all the things in my life that God's still working on. And I was feeling a little bit insecure, a little bit like maybe it's a round peg in a square hole. Sometimes I sort of think that maybe I got switched at the hospital and God didn't even notice. Sometimes I ask God, God, are you really sure? Are you really sure that the thing that you've given me to do, and what you've called me to do, is really what you want me to do, and that I'm the right guy for that? I think that we all, at times, have asked ourselves those questions and asked God those questions. God, really, do you love me? Do you really think that I'm special? Do you really care about me? Am I important to you? And God's answer is always yes. God thinks you're amazing. God thinks you're wonderful. God thinks that you are His masterpiece. But God wants to do a great work in you. God wants to do something in you to bring you into that place of freedom and that place of wholeness that He created you to live in. We sometimes go before God and we talk to Him and we try and hide things from Him. The part in this video where He's saying, God, I know what you're going to find in there. And like God doesn't know. But God knows. God's not afraid of what He's going to find in you today. God's not surprised by where you're at today. But God wants to bring you into a new place, a better place. He wants to bring you in a place where only He can bring you. I realize that we're all on a journey. I'm on a journey. You're on a journey to becoming everything that God wants us to be. This series that we're doing this last bunch of weeks we're doing is not another series about jumping through hoops or ticking off boxes so that you could be good enough for God. It's not what it's about. It's about really just walking into the freedom and the joy and the place of acceptance in God that He really wants us to be in. God is not trying to make you good enough. He made you good enough through His Son, Jesus. He made you good. And He wants you to walk into everything that He has for you. It's not a series about making you feel like you're unworthy or that you're a worm, because you aren't. You are God's masterpiece. You are that. And He wants you to realize that. The series is about helping all of us to realize that God created us in love and that He has something special He wants to bring out in us. I don't know what exactly. I've been thinking a lot, you know, and I've talked a lot over the years about destiny and God's plan. And sometimes we want a big picture of God. What is the big picture for my life? What is it that you have for me? What is this great grand scheme you have? And I think what I've discovered is that every day, step by step, moment by moment, as we learn to listen to God and trust in Him, that He reveals that to us. And that He has the big picture about our lives, but He wants us to walk it out in faith day by day. To grow into His image and His likeness day by day. It's about us really getting a tune-up from the God who created us. We've been damaged by sin, we've been damaged by pain, by guilt, by all kinds of things in this world. But God wants to tune us up so that we could run on all cylinders. I don't know if you've ever had a car that's just like kind of shaking along. I know some of you drive, you know, newer cars all the time. But for those of you that have driven older ones, and it's just limping along. And then you get a tune-up and it's all, you know, a bunch of things fixed and it's running right. And you're like, wow, this is so cool. This is so good. But that's the way God wants your life to be. God wants your life to be running on all cylinders. He wants you to come into a place where you feel like you're running the way God's made you to run. It's about your life firing on all cylinders and living in harmony with God's plan for your life. It's a walk of faith. It's not a one-time deal. I say yes to Jesus, everything is cool. It's about walking each day and learning each day from Him. This is what Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11 to 13. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. God wants to bring us into these wide open spaces and wants us to live in a open and generous life so that we can live large. But so often, so many of us choose to keep plodding along in the same old life that we've always lived in. Notice in this verse, it doesn't say that God has fenced you in or that other people have fenced in your life. The fences that we build come from within. We build these fences in our life and we live small because we think this is all that we could do. This is all that we've been given. This is all that we can be. But God didn't make it that way. God didn't plan it that way. We need to let God open up our... We got to be willing to allow God's work in our life so we can tear down the fences that we've created. Sometimes we dream and we have these, what we think are big dreams, but God has bigger dreams for you. God has better plans for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, or in some versions it says the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's plan is to tear down the fences in your life. To take away the things that confine you. To take away the sins, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13 or 12, that so easily beset you. He wants those things torn out so that you can live a life that's expansive and free before Him. But we have to say yes to God. We have to allow Him that place in our life. We have to do it. We get to choose. We talked a lot about this last week. It's our choice. Heaven and hell stand waiting to see what you're going to choose today. What to do with what you're going to do with your life. God wants to do amazing things in your life. He wants to, but you have to open your life to Him. God is waiting on you to decide what you want to do. This is not a small life. Contained life is not the life that God has planned for you. The one that He has planned is much larger and more expansive. Plodding along is not an acceptable way to live in God's eyes. But so many of us plod along. So many of us just keep doing the same thing day after day after day, going the same way, walking the same paths, meeting the same people, giving out the same amount of energy, doing the same thing, plodding along. In the same old path, day after day after day. We go to youth camp every year at Rocky Ridge Ranch. And for the unsuspecting and the new, we have horseback riding. If you can call it horseback riding. It's pretty much like getting on a merry-go-round, except these horses smell and they have hair. Because the horse follows head to butt to the horse in front. And they just plod along in the same old path, day after day after day. All they ever see is the rear end of the horse in front of them. They never see anything else. And so many of us live our lives that way. All we do is just follow along, maybe nothing. And we just keep walking in that path, day after day after day. We get up and we do the same old thing. I just want you to understand that's not God's plan. God has something for you. God wants us to live with an expectancy in our heart that He could do something great through us. This is what it says in 2 Kings 13, verse 10 and 11. I've read this verse many times, but it's really important to remember because so many times we fall into the same old traps year after year. In the 37th year of Josiah, king of Judah, Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, jeez, people must hate their kids to give them names like this, eh? Became the king of Israel in Samaria, a reign of 16 years. In God's eyes, he lived an evil life. This is why God considered his life evil. He didn't deviate one bit from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who led Israel into a life of sin. He plodded along in the same track, step after step. We sometimes look at our life and we say, well, this is my family. This is what happened to me when I was a kid. This was the way my dad acted, or this is the way my mom acted, or this was the way I was raised, or this is the fences that my parents put up, or my brothers put up, or life put up for me. And that's what this king had. He had a father who led Israel into a life of sin. But God still called him evil because he decided to stay there. Because he made up his mind that God wasn't big enough to free him from that life of sin, from that life of restriction, from just plodding along day after day in the same old path. And some of us have done that. We've said, this is my life. This is what I'm restricted to because A, B, C, D. I'm restricted to this because no one in my family ever got an education. Or I'm restricted to this because my parents were abusive. Or I'm restricted to this because this happened to me when I was a child. And my heart and God's heart goes out to people who have been through pain as children. But God has provided a way for you to be free. God has provided a way so that you can walk in a new life. You are God's original masterpiece. Don't settle. Don't plod along. God has something so much better for you. If you won't grow weary in doing well, the Bible promises that you'll reap a reward if you don't faint. My family, going back generations, has not always been the perfect family. But my parents one day decided they were going to give their hearts to Jesus and follow Jesus. And we decided as children back in the early 70s that we were going to follow Jesus and live for Jesus. And have there been times where we just wanted to give up and stop and just live the life of restriction that maybe that we should have lived? Yes, but we can't stop. Are there mornings that I wake up and say, I just don't want to try anymore? I don't want to do it anymore? Yes, there are, but God, it finds that evil in His eyes. I want to be pleasing to God. I'm not telling you this because I want to give you a hoop to jump through or a box to tick. I want you to be pleasing to God. I want you to know that He has a better life for you than what you're now living. Much better. But you got to keep moving forward in Him. You can't get stuck. You can't be in a rut. You got to step out of the rut. The Word of God calls it evil to live life in this way. So this series is about breaking free from those ruts that we've gotten into and living a life that's free. I know I say that a lot. I know I say that a lot. I know I say that. I know I repeat. I know I keep doing and saying the same old thing, but I want us to get it. Because this is what Jesus came for, to set us free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So be free. I'm seeing some people that are doing this, deciding to walk free, deciding to follow God, deciding to get out of the rut. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that means that we have to give up some of the relationships that we've been in. Some people are hanging around with a crowd that's not willing to break out of the rut. Actually is enjoying the rut. Some of us have to decide that we're going to believe God for some relationships that are hurting and failing. Some of us have had to walk away from habits. We all need to walk away from some habits that we have. Maybe the habit is sleeping in too long in the morning. Maybe the habit is just wasting too much time during our day. Maybe the habit is spending too much time in front of the TV at night. Whatever the habit, we need to break some habits if we're really going to walk free. And I'm seeing some people do that. And it's nothing to do with me as their pastor. It's nothing to do with anything like that. It's because they've decided to follow God and not keep plodding along. I was talking to one guy a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, I just had a really rough week this week. It was kind of just dry, and I wasn't getting connected with God and really want to stay connected with God. I made this commitment to keep growing. He said, so I was talking to one of my friends that's kind of an accountability person for me, and we made this plan, and we're going to get together more during the week, and we're going to pray, and we're going to talk together, and we're going to share God's word together, and we're going to fix this. No more dry weeks. Now, that's stepping out of the rut. That's getting a plan together and finding someone to hold you accountable. We get together with our small group on Wednesday nights. We have a young adult small group, and every week we get together. I tell them, I'm going to ask you this question, and I expect an answer. What's God doing in your life this week? Because God should be doing something in your life this week. If you're reading His Word, if you're spending time in prayer, the Bible said if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. He'll come in and He'll change our lives. So when we get together, we should have something to talk about. More than just the Leafs, you know, on a winning streak and now on a losing streak. And, you know, now we're Leafs fans and now Leafs are stinky and those kind of things. We have something greater than that to talk about. God wants to do amazing things in your life. You just got to push past where you are. These guys are growing into the freedom that God has for them. And I can't wait to see what will become of a masterpiece of God. Because here's the thing. I think that we need to understand the Word of God is that chisel in our life. The Word of God gets into our life, and it messes with our life, and it corrects things, and it changes things, and it's what we need. If we're going to grow as Christians, I'm telling you, I say this to the young adults, I'm going to say it to you. If you're not reading your Bible and praying every day, you're not going to grow. You're not going to survive as a Christian. You're going to live a boring, horrible life. I promise you. I think there's a lot of people here that have been Christians for a long time and you're bored stiff. It's because you're not giving your time and your energy to God. If you're going to be in relationship with God, you've got to make a step and you've got to do something. I don't want to be like Mr. Meany. I don't want to tell you like I know all the answers, but I do know this answer. If you don't get into your word, if you don't spend time in prayer, you can't stay strong as a Christian. There is no neutral place as Christians. You're either moving ahead in God or you're sliding back into an old life that Jesus paid the price for you to walk out of. It's simple. Again, that's no hoop to jump through. That is something we need to do as Christians if we want to be Christians. It's not making you be able to stand up in church on Sunday morning and say, well, I read the Bible every day this week. Look at me. I'm a good guy. I read the Bible. Because if you just do it for that reason, then it's not enough. But you need to read the Bible so that you could grow, so that God would have a place in your life to speak to you so you could grow up in Him. I'm telling you, I've been a Christian my whole life, it seems. I think I gave my heart to Jesus when I was like 8 years old. Baptized when I was 9. Served God my life. I've had some ups and downs, but I've loved God. I've loved His church my whole life. But just recently, over this last year, I've really walked into the power of reading His Word diligently every day. Really expecting God to speak to me every day. And you know what? He does. And He wants to with you. He wants that with you. He wants to know you and be known by you. He wants you to know Him and be known by Him. He wants that. The only way we're going to do that is get into His Word. His Word is life, the Bible said. But David said, I love your law. I love it because it's life to me. His law is life. It's not a punishment. It's not like you're a Christian, like crawl up your stairs on your knees kind of deal. When you get to read God's Word, His love letter to you. I was saying this the other night. Christine and I, we got married. It's 17 and a half years. And we started dating about 19 years ago, right? Thanksgiving time. And we wrote a lot of love letters back then and a lot of cards. And we still have those cards and letters. And every once in a while, we like pulling them out. I like pulling them out and just reading some of them and getting those feelings, because it's cool that she wrote me all these nice things and she still writes me nice things. And I love it. But God did that for us in His Word. God wrote you a book about what He thinks of you and what He wants to do in you. So, will you break free? Or will you just keep plodding along in the same old path? There's a life for you beyond what you could even ask or imagine. But you have to make a commitment and a step toward God and toward each other. Toward each other as believers. Relationship with God, relationship with each other. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like to it, love your neighbor as yourself. So love each other. God's called us toward that. And here's the thing. Becoming His masterpiece is for God's glory, because He wants to show the wonder of Himself to those around us, through us. And it's for our good, because it's to release you into the free life that God has planned for you. God wants to make you into His masterpiece for His glory and for your good. But as we talked about last week, we must allow Him to do the work, because if we're always telling Him what He should do and when He should do it and what habit or what thing or what sin needs to go next or where we need to build next, then we're not allowing God to do the work. We're controlling it. We're saying, God, You're bigger sort of than I am, but I really think I know better than You. That's why the first week of this series I showed that film, How Great Is Our God, to talk about the wonder and the greatness, how God is huge, how He's the God who breathes out stars that are so huge. At the same time, He's the God that created this little protein molecule, cell adhesion molecule, that's the shape of a cross that 6,000 years ago, I could just see in God's mind thinking, you know what? They can't see it now, but 6,000 years from now, they're gonna develop a microscope that's going to be able to see this, and they're going to think it's really, really cool. You know, and God cares about the smallest detail in our life. He cares about our DNA strand. He cares about how tall or how short you are, how many freckles you have on your face, how much hair you have on your head. He cares about all of that. So saying that, I wanted to show the greatness of God so that we would just release our life into His hands. So we'd know that we could trust Him. If the God that breathes out stars and cares about the little things, He could care about you. He could care about you, and He does care about you. He knows you by name. David said in the Psalms that every day of your life was written in His book before you ever lived one of them. He knew you by name. We can trust Him. And He wants us to trust Him. The second thing we talked about last week was His Word, and I want to continue on with that, because His Word and its value in our life is so important. The level of value that we place on God's Word is really going to determine how much we're going to be able to become the masterpiece of God. We have to decide to follow God. When we allow God's Word to root in our lives, that Word starts to work in us and to change us. I know my dad, when he read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, by Hal Lindsey, it talked about the fact that he could be sure of his salvation. That the Bible said in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And he grew up in a church that really, he had a hope that you could be with Jesus one day in heaven, but you didn't have the assurance. And he realized, and God's word started working in him, that, you know, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That word worked in him about, you know, that we could have the confidence that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we could be saved, that we would be saved. And in fact, one day we would be guaranteed an eternity in heaven with God. And that word started working in him and in our family and in our lives. And God changed us. And we, one day after realizing what that word said and what that word meant, I remember my dad when he gave his heart to Jesus. I remember the change in our family that the word of God in those few verses made. God's word working in our hearts changes things. I've got this word in my heart right now that said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, it will quicken my mortal body. And that means that I'm just not a normal person anymore. The Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in me. And that Spirit wants to get out on people around me. He wants to show himself strong to a world that's lost and needs him. What does that word mean? And God's working that word and just stirring that word in my heart. And it's changing the way I think. What word has God got in your heart right now that's stirring you, that's changing you, that's working in you and producing this change? Because there is a word that God wants to place there that will change you. So this is what it says in Isaiah 55, verse 6 and on. It says, seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. I want you to remember this. To God, good is doing his will his way. To God, evil is doing your will your way. So this might be talking to you and to me. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the skies soar high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow, excuse me for a second. Rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, and producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave to them. So then you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. The mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. No more thistles, but now giant sequoias. No more thorn bushes, but stately pines. Monuments to God, living and lasting evidence of God. God's word actually has an assignment from God in your life. And the promise is that when that word is released into your life on this assignment, that it will not return empty-handed, but they'll do the work that they were set to do and come complete the assignment. They'll complete the assignment given to them. God's word is working in your life. God's word is working in your life, and it won't return void. But if you don't put God's word into your life, there's nothing working in your life. If you're not reading his word and asking God to make it real and to grow it in you, and allowing that word to get into your life and do the assignment that it's been called to do, it's not going to change you. But God wants to change and work in you. God wants to bring you again into that free life, because it says then, after that, you'll go out in joy. you'll be led into a whole and complete life when this word works in you. It says the mountains and the trees will break forth in praise to God. And then I love Isaiah 55:13 because it says, no more thistles, but giant sequoias. They're big trees. So what was before an ugly plant that didn't belong now grows into this beautiful tree that's a monument to God. There's some things in our life that we just hate right now that are ugly, and God wants to take them out. He wants to plant something beautiful there. He wants to plant something beautiful there. We got to let Him do it. We got to allow His work. We can't really understand how this happens, how this word gets in us and starts working. In Mark 4:27, it says the sower goes and sows seed, and it grows night and day, and he doesn't understand how. But there's something working, and there's something that maybe we can't understand about when God's word gets in our heart and the changes it makes, but it does change us. And we just need to allow God to do that work. Don't worry about it. Don't try and understand everything. Just trust that God knows what you need, and that if you'll just give your time to Him and read His word, that He's going to do a work in you. Allow God's word free reign in your life, and that word will produce a life that's pleasing to God and a blessing to others and an adventure for ourselves to live. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy, people, because I've found, and I think you've found, life is not always easy. It's not always simple. It's not always just like that. It's not. It's not going to be. Anything worthwhile is going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some challenges, but God will do something great. God's word is not like any other book. It has supernatural, life-giving power. It has God's wisdom and guidance system built into it, and it will produce good and godly things in your life. And actually, when that word produces a harvest, you will go with joy and be led into a whole and complete life. Like I said, it's amazing. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 says this, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped for the task that God has for us. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. It's for us. God gave it to us as a gift, and He wants it to work in our lives. How can we live as Christ followers without really having love, respect, and time for God's Word? I loved last night. I had a great time here. I thought it was amazing. But so many times people tell me that people won't drive to church. People won't, give time for church. People won't do this and people won't do that. But I saw last night that if there's something you really want to do, you make time and you find time and you get out. You don't care how far you drive to get there. It's just what it is. And it's the same with us. If we could say, we're too busy. We don't have time to spend with God every day. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you're too busy. If your job is preventing you from being able to spend time with God because you just work too many hours, you need to quit your job. I'm sorry, you need to trust God that He'll give you a better job. If your family is taking up so much time that you can't spend time with God, you need to set some strict boundaries in your life and get some time with God. If your playtime and your hockey and soccer and whatever else your family's involved with is taking up so much time that you don't have time to spend with God, you need to stop. Sorry. These things are temporal. The things of God are eternal. I mean, you can have fun, and we should all have fun. You can work a good job, and we should all work. And you can have some entertainment and relaxing time for yourself, but you still got to have time for God. If you're going to be a Christ follower, you got to follow Christ. And that takes time. So you need to drop whatever it is that's stopping you from that. You need to set your priorities right. And you need to get right with God. Sorry, it's the way it is. God, how can God ever chisel away the things in our lives that are holding us back from becoming His masterpiece if we won't allow His word time in our life? God has a beautiful plan that He wants to work through you, and all you have to do is surrender your life to Him and allow His word to work in you. All you have to do is give time every day to God. Give time to Him to work in you. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just go, I got to read my three chapters today and I got to spend my 5 minutes with God. Just take some time and be with Him. For ladies, it's the difference between eating supper at home, maybe in a rush with your family, or going out for a dinner, a nice dinner with your husband, and being able to sit across the table and talk. It's that way. It's that time that we need to spend in relationship with God. It's not jumping through hoops. It's not ticking a box and saying, I read my Bible today. It's actually taking time to build a relationship with God. We can never diminish the importance of reading God's Word and spending time in prayer. It's not about becoming good enough for God. It's about becoming close enough to God so that He can speak to you. Close enough so that you can sense what God wants to do. It's about relationship. God paid the price so that you could have a relationship with Him, and now He wants to have that with you. It's not something anyone is trying to do to you. It's something God wants to do in you and through you. It's not a chore or a duty. It's an invitation into a life spent with God, living in His presence and enjoying His company. It's what it is, and we need to take advantage of it. It's like we just had an election this past week. And in Canada, we've had free elections for, 100 years, maybe 200 years. And we take it for granted. We can't be bothered if it's raining out or if it's, the wind's a little strong or it's a little too cool or we just don't feel that moment, We just aren't going to vote. But I was, watching Iraq and Afghanistan where people will stand in line and walk for days to vote. Because they never had the privilege or the right before, and now they have the privilege and the right. They're willing to be shot by snipers. They're willing to risk an attack of a bomber so that they could actually have the right to vote. Well, there was a time as people of God where people of God didn't have the right to come into God's presence and have a relationship with Him. They didn't have that privilege or that honor that we have. And they would have given in. I think about David. David who... Bible said, dance before the Lord. He took a lot of chances about the presence of God because he just wanted to connect with God. But he was willing to take chances. And the early church was so willing to give everything they had to Jesus and to God because they just knew that without Him, their life was nothing. They knew the difference between being able to not have a relationship with God and have a relationship with Him. We have the right and the privilege and the honor, the Bible says, to boldly enter His throne of grace, to come before His throne of grace and ask for help in our time of need. We have that right, but so many of us treat it like how we treat voting. We treat it like, well, if the wind's blowing the right way or if it's not raining out or if I have a few moments left at the end of my day, I'll maybe give this time to God. But people, I just want to encourage you that if you'll change that, if you'll really honor your time with God, if you really give your time to Him, if you really love Him, if you really spend time with Him, if you really ask Him to reveal Himself to you, He will. I like this verse. I've been reading it this week in 2 Peter. I guess it has to do with what I'm talking about, but I like it, so I'm just going to read it anyway, and we'll end with this. It says in 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and on, I pray that God will be kind to you and will let you live in perfect peace. May you keep learning more and more about God and our Lord Jesus. We do that through His Word. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power when we learned that He had invited us to share in His wonderful goodness. God made great and marvelous promises again in His Word so that His nature would become part of us. Then we could escape our evil desires and corrupt influences of this world. Do your best to improve your faith. You can do this by adding goodness and that understanding and self-control and patience and devotion to God, concern for others and love. And if you keep growing in this way, it will show that what you know about our Lord Jesus has made your lives useful and meaningful. But if you don't grow, you are like someone who is nearsighted or blind, and you have forgotten that your past sins were forgiven. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you tore open the veil, that you took down the thing that was separating man from God, that you paid the price completely for our sin so that we could come into your presence and the presence of our Father God daily, so that we could have the privilege of knowing him through his word and through just conversation and time spent. So Lord, today I just pray, as even as I believe you're speaking to our hearts, Lord, even as Lord, you've just put your finger on some things in our life, maybe where we've been plodding along, maybe where we haven't really just given the time and the care and the attention to you that you've called us to. God, I just pray today that this just wouldn't be a moment of discovery, but that this would be a moment of change. As you said in Acts through your man, you said, repent and be converted so that times of refreshing would come from the hands of the Lord. Lord, today I just pray that we would turn from the way we've been living. Lord, if we've been plodding along in that same old path day after day, step after step, Lord, if in any way we have taken you kind of lightly or we've taken you for granted today, Lord, we repent. Lord, and we ask you to forgive us today. Lord, and we commit today to turn from the life that we've lived to a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, a life saturated with your word and with your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you never said yes to God, he wants to touch you today. He wants to be part of your life today. He's paid the price for you to come into a relationship with God. He gave his life on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to this earth as the Son of God, born through Mary the Virgin, and he lived a perfect life, an obedient life. But he died a horrible death, a death that he didn't deserve. He took it. He took that death upon himself so that we could be made free, so that we could come into a relationship with God. So basically the Bible tells us that he's done the work. We don't have to do the work anymore to set ourselves free from sin, that he's already done that work, that he's paid the price in full. But all we need to do now is accept that. We need to admit that we need God. We need to say, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we believe that you paid the full price. Jesus, we want you to be the Lord of our life. That means the master, the commander of our life. It's giving Jesus control of our life. It's not giving control of our life to a man or to anybody else. It's giving control of our life to Jesus. If we're willing to do that, if we're willing to say, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my master. Jesus, I believe that you paid in full. Maybe I don't completely understand how this all works, but I do believe that you love me and that you paid the price for me. And if you'll just confess with your mouth that and ask him to come in your heart, you're going to be changed and saved. The Bible says that you will become a son or a daughter of God, a child of God. We're going to pray this little simple prayer together. You pray it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. It's going to change your life forever. God's going to just do amazing things. And I know he's done it for me. I know he wants to do it for you. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you set me free. Today I ask you to forgive my sins, to cleanse me, to take that sin away. From today and on, I want to be your child. I want you to be my master. I want to serve you. Lead me and guide me. Cleanse me from sin. I pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, then please stop. There's a prayer room down the hall, three doors to your left. Stop there. Somebody would like to just connect with you. If you need prayer for anything else this morning, if you're sick or if you just need agreement, whatever you need this morning, just stop by the prayer room. Be there, people there to pray for you. If you're men and you're going to Valiant this weekend,
just ask after we're done with the service that you just come up and see me for a minute. Just have some things to give to you. And then, so we're going to sing this song and then we're going to be dismissed. Okay? Let's worship God. How is that? All right. Something that's worth. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
You search much deeper within,
through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Back to the heart of